I like what he does with his nose and his makeup. His nose is very shiny, like a platinum silver on his chin and his nose. It might just be this actual look he did that day, but
That highlighter must be popping that
it
day.
completely changes his whole face. Like his thin nose is thin. Like this is cool shit, you know?
Yeah, that's popping.
And his eyebrows, normally I would think his eyebrows are obscenely big, but they look really cool and they actually pull the whole look in. I like it. See how big and thick
Kind of
they
got a
are.
round face, so it works for his face
Yeah.
shape. They're kind of rounded, right? I think that's how he does his eyebrows. I could be
I'm
completely
getting
wrong.
ready to send, I'm getting ready to send you the picture I'm looking at off his Facebook. So you know what I'm talking about, 'cause it's like I like to it's a good job.
That's how we roll here at kind of a big deal. We
Yeah.
Facebook stalk our guests.
We get to know our guests. Shit.
Yeah, I blew that picture up and look at his face, and I like it. The whole look is cool.
Creep. I'm just kidding.
You should see what I do to your pics.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Is that why your phone was sticky when I picked it up earlier?
That little drawing tool has probably all kind of characters on it.
I show everybody Gianna. I'm like, look, check her out.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, good damn, that's the same guy as the glasses on standing in the
Yep.
woods. Like, yeah, it's amazing, right?
Yeah, that's
Yeah,
how
it's like
she
a.
always wears her hair. She wears her hair like that 95% of the
Well, that's probably a lot better to dance with.
Yeah. Gianna is like Hannah Montana, but full circle.
Yeah.
Like, she. Craig spins and she comes to life.
Like Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Bum-ba-da-boo. Oh, that's definitely not Wonder Woman. Anyway, it's
Either
fine.
that or Life Size when the Barbie came to life.
Period. There it is. That was
Who's the
just me,
puppy?
Hot Wing.
Who's the puppy? Is that the puppy's name, Hot Wing?
Yep.
That's awesome.
She's awesome. She's been such a great addition.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Kind of a Big Deal podcast. I'm your host, Terry Miller, and I am joined with my co-host
Doug Parks.
and my other co-host joining us from Tennessee.
Click rocks.
And this week we have an awesome guest that does drag with Craig when he transforms into Miss Gianna Lux. And she is also from Tennessee. It is Logan McGinnis.
Hello, hello. How are you all?
We are well. Thank you for joining us.
Of course. Thank you all for having me. I'm really excited.
So, we have some notes and some topics to talk about. Okay. All right. So, let's start with talking a little bit about Drag Wars Season 3. Can you explain to us
Okay.
what that is?
Yes. So, Drag Wars. Knoxville Drag Wars is, a 7-week competition that they started, of course, 3 years ago. It was in 2018, I believe they started. And it kind of plays off of Drag Race a little bit. There's weekly challenges that, you know, all contestants would have to adhere to and, you know, focus on the theme and bring certain things to the stage each week. The way season 3 worked, the first week was like an audition week. And they bring, I want to say, 8 people into the competition. So more than 8 people can audition, but they only took, you know, the 8 into the competition. So I auditioned, my former drag mother, Nebula Majors, also my best friend, former roommate, The person that actually got me started in drag was crowned the season 2 winner of the Knoxville Drag Wars. So, of course, I had interest to go compete. So I auditioned and made it into the competition. The first 2 weeks of the actual competition after auditions, though, I found myself in the bottom two. If you all are familiar with Drag Race, you know, the bottom two, you typically have to, like, lip sync for your life to stay in the competition. The way season 3 worked, they had twists where the previous winner of the week would choose a box, and the box would either have lip sync for your life or lip sync for your legacy. So, you know, if y'all are familiar with All Stars, RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars, lip sync for your legacy, the top two lip sync, and they send one of the bottom home. Whoever wins has the opportunity to send the bottom home. So 1 week it was lip sync for your life. I found myself, you know, winning the lip sync, staying in the competition. The next week I was in the bottom again, and it was lip sync for your legacy. My good duty, Van Deja Vu, who I think you all had on your podcast previously, yes, she was the winner of the lip sync for your legacy that week. And she chose to keep me in the competition. And then the next week I won Snatch Game with my Tina Belcher impersonation from Bob's Burgers. Are y'all familiar with Bob's Burgers?
Yes.
I have a wild Tina Belcher mix that I do, but I saw myself winning that week. It's so much fun. Like, I just get to be so stupid and wacky on stage. It's a great time. But I was able actually to win that challenge. It was the Snatch Game week, so we actually did a version of the Snatch Game on stage, and then we had to do performances as our characters. And then 2 weeks after that, we actually had to pause the competition due to COVID-19. It was right around early March of 2020, and we had to postpone the competition. After that, there was some issues with the owner, the owner of the competition, moving away. He had went through a divorce and moved away from Tennessee. So we didn't get to finish Drag Wars until here recently, you know, January of 2021, and we had to finish it virtually because the top four went down to a top three due to someone being disqualified, and then the top three went, you know, we were going to go into the finale with like pre-recorded videos, like music videos. They asked us to prepare a best drag video and then a music video of our choice. So we completed those. I did my music video was Tina Turner's Simply the Best. I was really inspired by Schitt's Creek and that song being on Schitt's Creek and kind of finding a newfound fame with that. So I did that for my, I love that song so much. I perform it way too much now after the music video, but super fun. And then my best drag video, I love costuming with drag. I don't make my own costumes, so let's not get that twisted and think that I'm a seamstress, because I am definitely not. I do not know how to work a sewing machine whatsoever, but I love costuming. I will buy costumes all day long. I will help try to, you know, design look. But
you put some money into it.
Yeah, I, that's one thing I've learned. You know, I'm not afraid to invest in my costuming and my hair now. I used to be very frugal with that, but, you know, not anymore. So I decided to bring about 5 looks, and I did RuPaul's Sissy That Walk. And I focused on doing, like, 5 different costume changes. We edited them together and just kind of blended them, and it turned out fabulous. And I found myself winning the finale, believe it or not. So I was very grateful for that. It was almost a year later that we finally finished, and I won.
Awesome.
So where can we find this at?
So the finale, if I'm not mistaken, it was streamed live on Facebook on Jackson Station Productions' Facebook page. Taylor Jackson is the new owner of Knoxville Drag Wars. And he was gracious enough to put the finale together for us, live stream it. So you can see mine and Vandasia's videos because we were the top two. So they live streamed our videos. And then back when we were actually living together, we were all roommates. It was myself, Vandasia Vu, and Nebula Majors. Since we had to finish it virtually, we filmed, right, a house full of queens. I'm telling you, it was a lot of good times. A lot of good times. I love all them so much. but we filmed two different versions of the crowning. So we all got in drag, went out, just played around in makeup, and we filmed Nebula crowning Vandasia, and then we filmed Nebula crowning myself. And we didn't know, you know, what was going to be played on the finale, but that's kind of how they did it with Drag Race. Everybody was filmed being crowned, and that's how we did it. And it's on Jackson Station Productions Facebook page.
That's awesome. So sticking to the whole 3-year Dragiversary that you are celebrating here coming up, when exactly do you celebrate your 3-year Dragiversary?
So the first time I stepped on stage in drag, and God forbid it was, I'm absolutely tragic, I was a hot mess, was February 28th of 2018. So it'll be 3 years, February 28th of 2021. I just kind of celebrate the entire month of February, though. My real birthday is February 7th, so I'll be turning 24. Yeah, I'll be turning 24 on February 7th, so I kind of celebrate my real birthday and my drag birthday around the same time.
Awesome. Well, congratulations.
That's thank you. Thank you. I actually get, yes, I actually get to celebrate my drag birthday this year at New Beginnings on February 6th. So we're having my birthday show on February 6th. I don't know if the podcast will air before or after, but I'm really excited. I think I'm going to bring out some stuff that I'm known to do in the past, and I think I'm going to work on some new numbers as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, yeah, it'll be shortly after that, because I think February 6th is a Saturday, correct?
It is, yeah.
Okay, so it'll be the Tuesday after that it'll come out.
Gotcha. Well, they'll get to hear about all this after probably my drunken shenanigans or not.
Let it all out. So,
right.
Continuing on that, how have you seen yourself grow since starting to do drag 3 years ago?
Oh, gosh. So when I first started doing drag, I came from a history. My degree is actually in theater arts. So I love performing, love being on stage, love the transformation of Logan to a different character. But with makeup, I had been working at Ulta Beauty as a prestige beauty lead. And I had also done special effects makeup for a haunted house in Talbot, Tennessee called Frightmare Manor. So I had some special effects, you know, background and beauty background, but going into drag, I was like, oh, I'll be fine. You know, I don't need to worry about makeup whatsoever. I've got this down. Well, I did not have it down. It was absolutely tragic.
It's so different.
I mean, I have definitely grown so much of learning the difference between just beauty makeup and drag makeup. I mean, my makeup, I've been through several different stages. When I first started, I tried my own thing. And then when I found my drag family, the House of Majors, I started, you know, trying to replicate what Nebula would do. It didn't always work. So copying somebody's paint doesn't always work, and I had to learn that the hard way. So after that, I started trying to do my own. Yeah, I mean, it's tough. After that, I started doing kind of my own thing again and trying to learn a little bit more from, like, YouTube and watching, like, RuPaul Queen's paint. And then it just started clicking. Like, I finally found my face shape. I started finding my eye shape. So I've grown a lot in makeup. I'm really happy with where my makeup is at now. Granted, it still takes me like 2.5 hours to paint, but I just love the whole process. I have fun doing it. I've also grown a lot on stage. So coming from a theater background, I was very confident being on stage, but those are two completely different aspects of performing. In theater, you know, you block where you got to stand. If you're in musicals, you've got choreography. It's all very well planned out and thoroughly rehearsed. In drag, it's not always rehearsed. It's not always planned out. You just go on stage. Well, I go on stage, and I do what feels natural and comfortable to me, and I just try to feel the music and, you know, do what comes naturally, whether that be jump into a split, whether that be attempt an 8 count that I sometimes fail at, sometimes succeed at, you know, it's just learning to let the music take over and just having a good time. When I first started performing, I was very sporadic. I just found myself trying to move everywhere on the stage. It was just, I didn't have a lot of command on stage. Now when I walk on stage, I'm comfortable to stand there if I want to throughout a verse. I'm comfortable to stand there and perform a ballad in one spot, and I don't feel like I have to move because I have that stage presence where I feel like people will pay attention to me without all that movement. And it's just learning a lot of...
Was that one of the kind of the hardest things to, like, I guess grasp a hold of when it came to, like, being on stage is being comfortable, like, standing in one still? Because I was kind of the same way where I moved all over the place. Like, I had to work at standing still, which sounds so freaking weird, but...
It does sound really weird, but sometimes it takes more out of you to just stand there and, you know, serve up a ballad than it does to go out there and do a 3.5-minute dance number. Because you really have to learn to just command the audience's attention from that one spot. And I mean, this is no shade to anybody, but some people can't do that. Some people just haven't got to that point in their career where it clicks for them yet. I'm very grateful that I've figured that out, but I mean, it wouldn't have came to me if I didn't have the people that I look up to, you know, helping me and people that I've got to watch on stage for years. It's hard. So not only have I grown with makeup, I've grown with my stage presence and performing, and my personality. I mean, when I first started doing drag, I think I had looking back on it, I think I had more of a nasty personality. Sometimes I came across as entitled. Sometimes I came across as, you know, I don't need help. I've got this. And thank goodness for pageantry and other competitions, because that really kind of beat it out of me. Now I feel like I have a sense of myself and I'm more humble and thankful to those who came before me and those who continue to help me. 3 years in, and I feel like I finally have a sense of who I am and where I want to go with things. It's been quite the journey.
How many titles do you hold?
I hold 2 titles. So currently I am the reigning Miss East Tennessee. I was crowned by Vandeja Vu in 2020. And then I am currently, of course, the Knoxville Drag Wars Season 3 champion. So technically where that started in 2020, I don't know if my reign will be shorter. I don't know kind of what the future of that looks. I know I've got to actually meet with the owner of the competition and the promoter to see kind of where we want to go with things this year. But currently I'm, you know, Missy Tennessee and the Knoxville Drag Wars Season 3 champion. So 2 titles.
She's a pageant queen.
So, no, I wouldn't necessarily call myself a pageant queen, but I do
think that's why more I said it, because it's funny. I mean, you went on, but I'm not saying you can't do them, but we know, you know.
Right, exactly.
So, during our research for you to be a guest on the podcast, I had noticed that you were in a production of High School Musical. So I just wanted to bring that up.
Yes.
And ask,
okay, so
how was that?
Oh my God, that was so much fun. But so I'm 23 currently, about to turn 24. So I grew up with High School Musical. I mean, it was
yes, queen.
Huge. It was huge growing up. I remember it premiering on Disney Channel and sitting in my grandmother's, you know, living room floor watching it and falling in love, and then learning the choreography and doing the dance along and the sing-alongs, and my little gay theater heart just screaming. But I was in college. I was getting my theater degree, and I had not worked with the Morristown Theater Guild in Morristown, Tennessee. But I had some friends who worked with them, and I found out that they were bringing back High School Musical. They had done it probably, I think, 10 years before. Yeah, it was 10 years because they called it like the 10-year anniversary. They had done High School Musical 10 years before, and they were going to bring it back and do the production again. So I was like, oh, my God, I have to audition. Like, this is my shot. This is, like, a dream of mine. And I auditioned, and I was cast as Ryan Evans, which, fitting, not a challenging role whatsoever. You know, little theater nerd, very flamboyant, crazy flamboyant Ryan. So it wasn't a stretch of a role for me, but I had such a blast. I got to work with some of my dear friends, Emma Andrews, Leo Winstead, Tyler Thompson, Chloe Bowling, just some names of some of the cast that I was real close to. It was such a good time. We performed it in a school gymnasium. We didn't do it in a theater. I mean, we did it in a school gymnasium. We built a stage, you know, right there on the basketball court. It was absolutely incredible. I got to bring some of my tap dance skills out, and it had been a while since I had tapped. So, God, it was just such a good time. Such a good time.
Have you ever tapped on stage?
Once. Actually, the very, very first time I was ever booked at New Beginnings, I was working with Jacqueline St. James, Ida Carolina, and Serena Knox. It was my very first Friday night ever, my ever first cameo spot. And I did a vintage Lady Gaga number. Postmodern Jukebox has a lot of Lady Gaga covers. So I put together a mix. Well, I didn't put together. Stevie Spears put together the mix. I just had the idea. And I did a Lady Gaga Postmodern Jukebox number and tapped on stage. In like a little flapper dress. It was real cute. I need to bring that back sometime, but it was super fun. That's the only time I've ever tapped on stage, though.
So I have one more question about the High School Musical thing before we move on from it. Did you bop to the top?
Oh, I bopped all the way to the top. I mean, fully on the ladder. Like, we did that entire choreography just straight from the movie. So, you know, I was ready to go for it.
Bop, 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 bop to the top.
Y'all are gonna have me singing that all day long now. Okay.
That's awesome. So, was that pre-drag or post-drag that you did High School Musical?
That was pre-drag. I want to say that was the summer of 2017. Yes, it was the summer of 2017 because that was the year I graduated college with my associates. And then the following summer of 2018, that's when I started performing. I started drag earlier that year, but I started performing regularly, like doing stage, open stages and talent nights on the summer of 2018 when I was in Heathers the Musical that summer. So I was balancing Heathers the Musical and drag. So High School Musical was pre-drag.
So, would you describe drag as your form of creative expression?
Oh, most definitely. So coming from a theater background and a love of makeup, working at Ulta and doing special effects, it combines two of my biggest passions, you know, performing and makeup artistry. So that is definitely my form of creative expression. But not only is it my form of creative expression, being on stage is kind of like my rescue, my safe space. Like when I go on stage, it's like I can forget all the worries, I can forget all my troubles, all my insecurities, and I just blossom. And you can just really see me light up and have a good time without worrying about everything going on. So it's really,
it's a beautiful kind of
like
thing.
A saving grace being on stage. Yeah.
It's one.
That's awesome.
Do you wish that you have the theater background?
What was that?
I think we lost Craig.
Oh, no.
Anyways, moving along. Oh, hold on. Why isn't it working? Thank God this isn't live.
If you remember to edit it out later.
Hello?
Hello. We lost you.
Bitch, where'd you go?
Sorry, I don't know what happened. It just went black and then
technical difficulty.
So, what was your question? Do you remember?
I know you have the theater background. I know nerves are like always there, but is it more nerve wracking when you were in the theater on stage or like as a drag queen?
I would probably say it's a little bit more nerve-wracking to be on stage in a theater setting, just because typically in a play or a musical, you know, it's going to be an hour and a half to, you know, 2 hours with possible intermission. So you have a, it's not just being on stage for, you know, 3.5-4 minutes doing a number and then going backstage and preparing for the next one. It's something from the moment you step on stage, you've got to continue being in character, continue, you know, remembering your lines, remembering your blocking, remembering your choreography. So I find being on stage in a theater setting a little bit more nerve-wracking, and drag is a little bit more forgiving. The audience most of the time has alcohol in them. Sometimes they're under the influence of other things. So they're a little bit more forgiving if you, you know, slip and fall or if you forget a lyric. But if you're in a play or a musical, it's not always that forgiving. I mean, you've got 50 to 200 people sitting there just staring at you in silence. So it's a little bit more nerve wracking in theater settings.
Yeah, I feel like you can't have no face cracks on stage because you're on there for cover and drag. Like you could just kick, flip, and split and. Woo! It's all better now.
Right. In drag, you can play off your fuck ups a little bit more. You can cover it up a little bit easier. You know, flip your hair, do a split, do a kick. You know, whatever. If you forget a lyric, just keep going, laugh it off. Take your tips, whatever. But you don't always have that opportunity in theater.
I wonder if it's possible to do makeup to make it look like your face was like you're looking at your face in a mirror, but the mirror is shattered. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's actually, I've seen several like makeup gurus do that where it's like a face crack, it's like a mirror crack, you know, version of their own face. And it's something I haven't tried. I don't know if I have the skill to do that, but it's definitely out there. I'll have to send you some pictures of it that I've seen on Instagram and such.
I seen a picture of you on Facebook a minute ago. I actually sent it to you and I thanked you for being on the podcast. Because that look was cool. You know, I like the way your nose shines. I don't know what that is. It's like a silvery green or blue.
Oh, yeah. Well, I love makeup. I am obsessed with highlighter. So that picture is, honestly, I just had a little bit too much highlighter on the tip of my nose. That looked like the Tin Man a little bit.
Badass. I liked it.
Oh, I love that look. That's one of my favorite looks. It's from the first photo shoot I ever did with Joshua Ricker. And that was actually in celebration of my second drag birthday. So it was my first photo shoot, and he's also the creator of Queens of Feel. He's the one who filmed my two videos for the finale of Drag Wars, and he done my East Tennessee, crown photo shoot. Josh was amazing, but that picture is one of my favorites, honestly. And it encompasses my boy hair. So in drag, I don't always wear wigs. Sometimes I go out with my boy hair and do some androgynous numbers. And it really encompasses that because, you know, no wig. I love it.
So
would you say the hair and no hair, sorry, is like 50-50?
You know, it used to be a little bit more 50-50. But being in East Tennessee, in an area that does have such a respect and high standard of classic drag and the more traditional form of drag, I've found myself, buying more wigs that are more me. So not always just like classic, you know, sculpted wigs. I've been buying wigs that are more me because around here, they're just not used to more alternative forms of drag. So sometimes going out on stage without a wig is a little bit more of a shock to audience members. It's not always 50-50. I think I bring it out when I feel the audience will receive it well. But I've also been working more on doing what I want to do in drag, not what people tell me I need to do or what the audience wants. I think being in drag, performing in drag is something, you know, you should enjoy doing things you want to do. So I'm working on bringing it back a little bit more, but I also just dyed my hair purple. We're going to, you know, bring that on stage some. I've been taking inspiration from a current cast member on season 13 of Drag Race, Joey J. Sadly, they were just eliminated from the competition. If anybody don't watched it, I'm sorry for any spoilers, but they were just eliminated. But he is a queen who doesn't always wear wigs, dyes his hair different colors to match his costumes. And I've been bringing some inspiration from Joey into my own drag. And, you know, bringing it back more. So maybe we'll see it more 50-50. Maybe we'll see it a little bit more than wigs. You know, who knows? We'll see if the audience receives it well and if it becomes more of a accepted and welcome thing.
Well, hopefully next time we're down there, you'll let me put some Scandinavian braids in your hair.
Oh, of course. Yes, please.
That would look badass.
Hey, that'd be super fucking cool. I would be down for that.
So,
I can't style hair worth a shit, so.
Actually, something that's really cool is you mentioned Josh Ricker. I've actually reached out to him on Facebook and have been talking to him quite frequently. And he is actually going to join us on an episode of the podcast in the future. Right now, he's pretty busy with all of his projects he has going on.
He is one busy bee, yes.
But he gave me permission to use some of his photography for promoting the podcast for the queens that we have on. And he's just a beautiful soul. And I've seen the Queens of Filth. We talked with Vandasia about it when she was on with us.
Yes.
So
yes, he is so incredibly talented. You brought up Queens of Filth. That is just one series that if I am ever lucky enough to be asked to do that one day, I will run with it because it'll bring in my history of, you know, working in haunted houses and my love for, you know, spooky things and paranormal. I don't always bring that into drag just because I haven't really found out how to merge the two loves yet. But I love the more like alternative spooky side of drag. And Queens of Filth is just amazing. I've got to see the process of two Queens of Filth videos. I was actually with Nebula when she filmed her Siren video. And then I was, you know, living with Vandasia, of course, as she was preparing for the Enchantress video. And it was just incredible seeing the ideas come to life and working with Joshua, collaborating and brainstorming the idea and then, you know, seeing it come to life. And we would always watch it on our big screen TV in the living room, kind of when Joshua would premiere it. And it was just, it's magic. It really is magic.
That is so cool.
Put out that.
So we're going to take a break real quick and we'll be right back with more Kind of a Big Deal podcast after this.
Let's take a second to talk about Xtina Paints. Christina Little is a member of the Kind fam. She's very close with Doug and I, and I'm sure she will get very close with Craig once she meets him. If you want to, you can support our friend Christina with her new endeavor, where she takes her beautiful art and places them on real cool products. You can go to Etsy.com/XtinaPaints. And that is XtinaPaints. You can also go to the Facebook page for Kind of a Big Deal podcast, and the link will be pinned right up at the top. So please support our friend Christina and purchase something from her awesome Etsy store today. Bye!
Hey everybody, this is Terry Miller from Kind of a Big Deal podcast. And guess what? I'm excited to tell you. Pride Month is celebrated every June in tribute to those involved in the Stonewall riots. And we're getting ready to dust off our rainbow flags, douse ourselves in glitter, and go join in the fun. With parades, festivals, and concerts going on across the globe, there's always some way for you to get involved, as well as learn more important things about social history along the way. And I'm here to announce it is time for another Pridecast event, and we're releasing it in June for Pride Month. So tune in on June 8th for Pridecast 21 to get your best drag on and let your rainbow flag fly. Cause bitches, we are turning it up. Bye.
Welcome back, everybody, to Kind of a Big Deal podcast. We have our next door neighbor and bestie with us hanging out, and she has a question for our beautiful, beautiful queens. Brenda, what is your question?
She's shy.
I don't know. I'm thinking maybe I do have a question for y'all. What was y'all's most embarrassing moment?
Oh gosh, like in drag?
It doesn't matter, whatever.
Okay. Oh gosh. I guess my most embarrassing moment in drag would have to be I was performing at a small little like dive bar in Knoxville once upon a time, and one of the queens was helping me pin a wig in, and it was still when my like makeup had not come nearly as far as it has now, and she was wearing gloves, like cloth gloves with her costume, and when she like rested her hand on my forehead to pin my wig in, she wiped my forehead off, like completely wiped my forehead makeup off and one of my eyebrows. And none of us had like an eyebrow pencil. None of us had like anything to draw them back on.
Ouch.
Somebody had a pink lipstick and they tried drawing them on with a pink liquid lipstick. And I had to go on stage looking like Boo Boo the Fool. And I swear to God, that was probably my most embarrassing moment ever. I was like, you know what? From here on out, I'm going to have to bring something to prevent that. So I always have like powder or something now to fix mistakes like that.
Oh my gosh.
Boo-boo, that's funny.
Oh, shit.
The lip and eyebrow are two things that are first to go, anything.
Uh-huh.
I think
the
somebody.
Lip and the eyebrow is always seems to be the first that will either melt off or flake off.
Oh, fully. And where I glue mine down, like there was glue coming up. Oh, it was just tragic. I was a hot mess express that night.
I think there should be a makeup boy that follows y'all around with his shirt off and just has on one of those little tool belts and has full makeup in there. You just hurry up and do emergency makeup fixes.
Makeup check.
Are you signing up?
Give me about 35 more pounds and I will. I was doing good, but I picked up 17 pounds last month. So I got to add that to the 20 I need to lose on top of it.
I think COVID has everybody gaining weight.
Well, I was plant-based diet for a while, and then I went off my plant-based diet, and like I just picked up weight quick. So if I cut out the meat and the dairy again, I'll be good. So, Logan, I heard that you had the opportunity recently because you moved here. You got
moved to Pennsylvania?
No. Just moved from Newport, Tennessee.
Yeah, Newport. I moved from Newport, Tennessee. Yeah, to Johnson City.
But you got to live with Nebula and Vandeja. How was that?
Yes. It was always such a good time. So I grew up in Rutledge, Tennessee. I moved out of my hometown when I had just graduated college. It's when I actually came out of the closet and I moved in with my boyfriend at the time to Morristown, Tennessee. After we split up, I moved into Newport. I had a roommate, her name was Megan at first, but we rented from Hunter or Nebula. And after my roommate Megan moved out, Hunter, Nebula, and his ex-husband moved back in. And for a while, it was the three of us, and then Vandeja moved in with us, so it was a little party. It was all four of us. When Nebula went through her divorce, we moved in Vandeja's partner, Bree, and it was, you know, continued to be the four of us for a hot minute until I just recently moved. But we always had such a good time. A lot of people, you know, say that they fight with roommates and they don't always get along, but I can genuinely say it was always a really good time living with them. A big drag house, you know, we always had drag everywhere. We'd work on sewing costumes. We'd honestly, you know, it was a great time. I miss them. I know that moving to Johnson City was the right decision, but I do miss them.
Did you have bras hanging in the shower?
No, we never had bras hanging in the shower, but it was never, you know, it was never odd to walk out, you know, the bathroom or your bedroom and see somebody in a half drag face or like half body trying on a costume. I mean, it was always wild. Or a wig sitting on the kitchen table, you know. That was always the norm.
That's just your fancy centerpiece.
Right. That's just our centerpiece for, you know, Halloween.
You know, I grew up in a religious family too, and you're talking about being Southern Baptist growing up, and I was raised with parents who were not only like religious and very, very, very like strict, but they were also like major alcoholics, and they had like gambling issues and like all these fucked up things, and they were always going to bars and leaving us home alone and shit like that. And just growing up in that religious background and being taught to hate yourself and hate you who you are, you know, at what point did you overcome that, or have you overcome that yet?
You know, that's a really, really a good topic to bring up. When I came out, it was because I was dating someone, and I was sick of masking them as a friend. I was sick of always having to hide my relationship with other friends around and just using it as a friendship excuse. I was, like you said, I was raised very Southern Baptist. My dad never had a home church where he like preached that regularly on Sundays, but he would fill in for our pastor. He would, you know, visit other churches and be like a special like guest preacher. So I was raised, you know, very religious, very conservative. My father also, I grew up with him working in the police force. He was a canine officer, which that was always fun because I got to, you know, grow up working with the canine dogs and helping them with that, which I love that. And then he became chief of police. And just here recently, he stepped back from the police force to just become a SRO officer and get back into the school system. But growing up, it was difficult. I never really realized that I was hiding myself or hiding who I was. I just thought that was, you know, the norm. Of course, now looking back on it, I see that I was totally attracted to men and that I always knew that I was different. A little instance of that was my best friend growing up. Her name was Lydia. Our fathers worked together on, you know, the police force. We went to church together. We went to school together. She was actually there when I was born. She was 6 months old, and her mom had her there when I was born. So we say, you know, that we were friends since birth. But Lydia and I were inseparable. Everybody always said we would get married. Everybody always said that, you know, we were like the it couple. And then when she got married, everybody realized, oh, okay, well, what's going on here? Like, she didn't marry Logan. What's going on? And it was always just something I kind of repressed, never really realizing it. And then when I got into theater, and got around a lot of, you know, open-minded individuals, the theater community is typically very open-minded and accepting and loving. I started realizing that it was okay to be gay. And my cousin owned the theater company that I worked with, Encore Theatrical Company. I'm Micah Shane Brewer. He's a distant cousin of mine, but he's openly gay. And I saw that, you know, how my family had treated him. And I saw that, you know, it's okay. He was thriving. And I think that's when I started to accept myself. And that's when I felt like it was okay to come out. I was actually dating a female at the time. We had been together for almost 2 years. I met her through theater, but we went to Nashville, Tennessee for an award ceremony for theater. And our directors at the time for the show that we were working with were getting married as well during that time period. And at their wedding reception, a few women pulled me aside and they were like, "Hey, we want you to meet someone." It was kind of like an intervention, which is kind of funny, but they wanted me to meet somebody who also had dated, but not only dated, had married a female, and they were still friends. So they wanted me to meet Chad and talk to him about his past, because they knew. I mean, they saw right through me. And that night, I was like, "Yeah, you're right. I am gay. I have been hiding that. I don't want to hurt my girlfriend, but like, how am I, what am I going to do? How am I going to come out? And the next day I got the courage to tell her that I was gay. And I had that support of like my theater moms. I always call them my theater moms. I had that support of them. And there shortly after, a year later, is when I came out to my mother, moved to Morristown with my boyfriend at the time. And kind of accepted who I am. It's been wild since then. My, of course, growing up Southern Baptist and conservative, my family didn't understand. Well, I won't say my family. My parents didn't understand. They are, my mother is 60 years old, and my father is going to be, or no, my mom is, yeah, my mom's 60, my dad's about to turn 51. My mom will be 61 this year as well. But they didn't understand. You know, that wasn't the norm for them growing up. But for some reason, my 80-year-old grandmother on my mom's side fully did not care. She knew, fully accepted who I was when I came out to her, as well as my sister. My sister and my grandmother were the first two people in the family that I came out to. And it just, they were there when I came out to my mother. So without them, I don't know where I would be. But I'm grateful that my mom and dad's relationship has strengthened and we are closer now. And, you know, they kind of accept that we have differences and we have a close relationship. So I'm very grateful for that.
You do not know how much that I kind of fit in with you on your story, with you saying like that you were with a female before coming out, because I also had that approach too. Now, I did end up getting married to her and went through that whole thing as well, and just recently got a divorce from my ex-wife. So like,
oh wow,
that's a piece where like I took it a step farther than you did, but I was with a woman before coming out, so I can kind of relate to you on that.
Damn, I am not a gold star. I don't know. No, well, you were saying anyway. Yeah.
Well, I mean, even though I dated a girl, I still consider myself a gold star gay. I've only ever kissed a girl. Even though we dated for 2 years, like I said, we only ever kissed. So I still give myself the title of a gold star gay.
That's funny.
I wish I was platinum. They were born C-section, so they never touched a vagina.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, well, I don't know if I was born C-section. I don't know. I can't answer that question.
I told that joke last night.
They're rare. The rare endangered gold platinum gay. Let's go out and try to find one in the wilderness, everybody.
They're the ones that deserve to be snotty gays, not all these other ones that are being snotty gays.
You have true. No reason.
Oh, God. Oh, you know what? Yeah, I was raised with very religious parents, and my life went a completely different route. I almost married a girl, you know, but
oh, Lord.
She was really in love with me, and she was my best friend. I'm like, I can't do this to her. I care too much about her. So I ended up coming out,
yeah.
You know, but
that's exactly what drove me to come out. You know, was I knew that she was in love with me. I knew that I was in love with her, but in a friendship way.
Yeah.
And I knew that I could not continue going down that path and breaking her heart even more.
Yeah.
So would you say, in your honest opinion, that like men that are gay and do get married to women, do you see that as being selfish in a regard?
So men that are gay and get married to women, I don't think I fully understood that question.
Okay, so like myself, so I got married uh-huh. to a woman, and even though like I knew who I was, I still did it for reasons that I shouldn't have. Do you see that as being that guy being selfish in a certain regard because he did do that?
Oh, not whatsoever. I don't see that as selfishness whatsoever. I honestly see that as selflessness. Like you're actually throwing away who you truly are to you know, make someone else happy. That's not a selfish thing whatsoever. That's very selfless. You know, you're
a martyr.
Yeah, I mean, that's the complete opposite. I don't see that as selfishness whatsoever.
I see it as bravery when you finally end that, though, and come out and tell the truth.
Very much so. I mean, yeah. It's an act of selflessness, but when you finally overcome that and you accept that, you know, you're never going to be truly happy until you do what makes yourself happy and what your heart wants. I mean, that's true bravery.
And when you grow up in an abusive family and it's religious based, and you're a little child. You never were allowed to grow or develop or be who you are. You were pounded down and forced to be what they want you to be. So emotionally and mentally, you stop growing. So when you finally come to know I'm somebody different, you're dealing with an infant at this point that you have to nurture and raise up and teach and guide to be who it really is, you know? So it's not going to happen overnight. It takes a long time, you know?
Yeah, and everyone has their own pace. I mean, they have to do it out there. It's different for everyone. I mean, you have to do it when you're ready.
And that's why we all need to love and accept each other and get off each other's asses and just do what you want to do and be you and have fun and vibe, you know, and just get rid of all, there's so much hatred and jealousy that we have to get rid of. And
you're exactly right.
You know, pettiness.
A lot of people, building on to that, there's a lot of people who say that people who come out when they're young, that, you know, a lot of people say, oh, they're too young or they don't know. No, I see that as true bravery. You know, no matter how young you may be, I'll use the JoJo Siwa, you know, coming out as an example. All people are like, oh, she's too young. She don't know. No, she does know. She's just braver than us that came out at 25 or at 23 or, you know, 18. You know, the fact that she's willing to stand up at her age young and say who she truly is, that's true bravery. I don't think you're ever too young to accept who you really are. And that's something that really kind of infuriates me a little bit, is when somebody says that somebody's too young to accept who they are, or they just don't know, or they're too naive. That really rubs me the wrong way, because I see that as them being braver than I am. They had the bravery at a much younger age, and they had to grow up a lot quicker than I did. Because when I came out at 18, I felt like you said, an infant. I felt like I was new to this world, and I was just now discovering who I was, and I feel like I had a lot more to learn than somebody who comes out at 13, you know?
I told a friend of mine the other day, because we were talking about a lot of this stuff, because we didn't have much to do at work, so we just sat around for 8 hours and talked. But I told her, I said, if we were all mindless robots created exactly alike, then we don't have, even if there would be a billion of us, you don't have a billion options. You have one, because they're all the same. You know, exactly. It's our differences that make us beautiful and attractive, and we have to embrace those differences with each other and accept it. And most people don't. They just want everybody to do what they want them to do and be the way they think they should be. And, you know, it's just, you're not, there's always going to be hatred. There's always going to be evil. There's always going to be, you know, goodness and love and hate. It all intermingles, and
it's the world.
Yeah, it's in each one of us. All of us have every one of those characteristics.
Exactly.
So we can't judge each other and put each other down.
You're exactly right.
Yeah. I don't know. My parents taught me to hate everyone, and it made me the opposite. I just love people.
That's great. You know?
I hate them.
I will never say that my parents taught me to hate anyone.
I hate them.
Right. I will never say that my parents taught me to hate anyone or anything of the sort. But I will say, being raised how I was, very, you know, conservative, I was raised Southern Baptist. And let me say really quickly, even though I was raised Southern Baptist, I do consider myself spiritual. I don't necessarily consider myself religious. I'm not in church, you know, every Sunday. I'm not in church every Wednesday, Sunday night, whatever. But I still have that regard for how I was raised. Actually, my boyfriend that I came out to my parents about, we were big in church. We went to an Episcopal church, and I was taught a lot by the people in the Episcopal church that it's okay to be who you are and love yourself and love others and have no judgment. So I'm grateful for that. But I do consider myself spiritual because churches have always failed me. Organized religion has typically always failed me. But, you know, building onto that, my parents never like taught me to hate anyone. But I do think because I was raised so small-minded, conservative in a small town, that I did not have that open-mindedness that I needed to have. For instance, in high school, one of my closest friends, her name was Samantha, we had to do a paper in English class over like a social justice issue. And she did it over, it was before 2015. So it was before, we had the right to marry, and it rubbed me the wrong way. And I think it was where I was, you know, repressing that so much that I had so much hatred, for people that could accept themselves. And I nearly fought her in class, like not fought physically, but like verbally. I was like disagreeing with her and telling her that it was wrong. And that's one of my most regretted moments, because I was like, you know, there could have been other people in that class listening to how I was speaking, and that made them afraid to, you know, be who they are. So now with that being in my past, I feel like I have something that I owe the, you know, the community that we're in. And I have to be the person that's fighting for it, because, you know, what if I did turn somebody away from coming out in that class? Yeah. And I'm so grateful to Samantha for standing up. I mean, she did not back down whatsoever, and she's still one of my very closest friends. You know, that was a lesson I had to learn. And when I came out, I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry that I ever said those things. I'm so sorry that I ever thought that way.
Well,
and it just blows my mind that that's who I once was, but that's not who Logan is now.
No, and you hate in others what you hate about yourself. And that's the problem. Exactly. When you're attacking somebody and going after somebody, that shit's about you, and you need to check it, you know? Because if you fucking check that, you're going to find out who gives a shit. They're doing them, you know? And when people are hating on you out there in the world, especially these Christians and these religious people that are coming after you for being gay, I would just look at them and be like, if you came out, babe, you'd be happy to.
You know? Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I think that on that same topic of you talking about being in class and having feelings and an outburst, I also have had a couple of those in my life. And I don't know if it's because I was trying to suppress my sexuality so much that the anger was seeping out in the wrong ways, and I felt like I was protecting people that were gay and stuff like that. But I've also had a couple of those outbursts where it was like uncanny and it was uncalled for, but at the time and in my mind, it was what was right.
Those were inner demons, like you all said.
How do you tell when you're, like, gay?
Talking to the microphone.
I don't want to.
First of all.
My first crush was when I was 3 years old. He was my best friend, Drew. Or not 3 years old, in third grade, I'm sorry.
Me and my brother were wrestling, and I got a hard-on.
No!
And it was so embarrassing. Whoops. Because he jumped up, and he's like, what the fuck, you freak? And, like, took off. And I was so embarrassed that I, like, super went in the closet and started becoming, like, macho. And
oh, God. Oh, my
hey,
God.
My name's Doug. I picked oh, my God, I think, put things down.
I think in that moment I might actually die.
The first time that I realized was when my mom and dad got me underwear. And the guy on the front of it, I was like, oh.
The underwear model?
Yeah, and then I got aroused. I actually masturbated to the underwear models for a long time.
But I've went to the underwear aisles now, and when I look at it, I'm like, how was I getting off on that?
Yeah.
Well, back then, I guess I'm not sure of how long it was, but there might have not been as many options on the internet if it was that long ago.
Yeah, well, I'm 44 years old, so that was probably about at least 35 years ago.
Well, even when I was younger... I mean, Craig, you're not much older than me. You know how it was when we were in our teens. Like, that was when the internet really first started, so it was dial-up.
Mm-hmm. My parents caught me numerous times looking at gay porn. Son, what is this we found? Sorry.
I actually
they
had...
still say they didn't know, though, when I came out. It's like, really? It's like, really?
Yeah, when my mom found shit on her dildo, I tried blaming my dad, but she wasn't buying it.
You abused her toy.
You molested her toy.
Oh, my God.
Obviously, I better put my toys up.
Oh, my Lord. I think I probably knew that I was gay when I was real young. And I remember that all of my, like, church friends were saying that our youth group pastor's wife was attractive. And I was like, oh, they're thinking she's attractive. And I remember I was like, no, he's the one that's attractive. And I think that's when I knew. I was like, I'm not attracted to women. I'm attracted to my youth group pastor. What the heck?
And that's confusing, too.
Yeah, that's when I knew.
And then the second time that I knew was when I seen Chris Evans in Not Another Teen Movie with the whipped cream on his nipples. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I have a joke going through my head that's so inappropriate. I can't say it.
Do it. Say it.
No.
Say it. Say it. Say it. Say it. Say it.
What you got to say?
So when I was going to Bible class when I was a little kid. What's that?
Oh. We lost Craig. Hold
Craig,
on.
Damn it. I'm telling you, this one's gonna be bad.
It's gonna be really hard. This episode's gonna be really hard to edit, but it was well worth it.
Oh yes, definitely.
I don't know what's happening.
Why do you keep hanging up on us, Hal?
I don't. I'm not doing anything. It just does it.
Okay.
I swear. Sorry, y'all.
All right. So go ahead and tell your joke.
When I was a little boy in Sunday school, the pastor's son came up to me on a playground and confessed that his father had been molesting him and was like crying about it. So I beat his ass. I punched him and started beating him up. And like everybody came running over and asked why I did it. And I said, I'm pissed off because he's getting something that I'm not.
Oh.
The filth.
Oh, my
I told you
God.
I was a bad one.
My God.
Welcome to my head, the things episode. I don't say sometimes.
Side note, let's continue on with the talk.
Right. On that note.
So, at this time, we are actually going to wrap it up with you. I do know that Craig does have a question that he did want to ask. So we're going to let him ask his question and then we're going to end the show here. Go ahead.
A question?
Yeah. About,
Oh, the name.
Yeah.
What? I'm just curious. Cause I also changed my name. Is that like a common thing with drag queens? And what made you decide to change your name?
So I've actually went through two different name changes in drag. So I feel like a lot of people are going to get some laughs out of this one, but my first ever drag name was Periwinkle, believe it or not. I thought I was going to be a comedy camp quirky queen, and my middle name is really Logan Perry. My middle name is Perry. My granddad's name is Perry. My dad's middle name is Perry. So I was like, okay, well, you know, what can I do? I love the color purple, and especially the shade of color periwinkle. So I ran with it. Well, then I changed my name to Nova Majors. When I found, you know, my drag family, my previous drag family, we just recently kind of disbanded, even though we're still family, we just don't claim the name. But I went to Nova Majors. I chose Nova because Nebula had a name that was Nebula Majors. It was NN. And I was like, well, what's another, you know, name that I can find that goes along with that? So I started looking up like space names or space words, you know, galaxy stuff. And I found Nova. And I kind of laughed about it because Nebula has a dog named Nova. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to call myself Nova. And then I fell in love with Nova Majors. Well, we went with that. And then just recently when our family decided to kind of be the heads of our own careers and not have a name, like a family name, and just kind of go our own ways because our styles were changing so much, I chose to go with Nova Stella because Stella Nova means new star. It translates to new star. And I was like, well, how perfect is it that, you know, I'm coming into my own style. It's about to be, you know, I'm about to be the head of my own career. I'm about to be my own new star. And so I went with Nova Stella.
And a beautiful star you are.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So is that why you all, I guess, split up? Is because I mean, I know that your all style has changed since joining the family. Because it used to be very, very similar. But it's awesome. I mean, because the makeup's beautiful. Is that the reason why I kind of wondered that? I just didn't know how to ask that. Well, but here we are now.
There was a couple reasons why. Due to somebody's personal, you know, misgivings. I'm not going to go into one reason, but when we went through some, you know, hard times as a drag family, and that's when we started recognizing that, you know, not only has this gone on and there's an issue that happened, but we recognize, you know, hey, our styles are changing. We're all not the same. We all have different goals that we want to achieve. We had kind of outgrown a drag family. We weren't learning from each other as much as we had. We were starting to learn from other people. So we just made the decision that, you know, we're going to drop, you know, the daughters were going to drop the major's name. We were going to find a different, you know, if we found a different family, we weren't going to be mad about it. If we wanted to choose a different last name, we could run with a different last name. But we just made the decision that since our careers were going in opposite directions, we were learning from other people and we weren't, you know, learning from the family as much, that we would just disband as a family. And honestly, I think we all can say it was Nebula, the mother of the family, myself, Nova Majors, now it's Nova Stella. There was Danielle Muse and Toxic. She's just Toxic now. It used to be Toxic Majors. But we all, I think we all can breathe a breath of fresh air now. And we're all successful in our own ways. We're pursuing our own styles. And I think it's a great, beautiful thing that we overcome that. I think it was definitely needed. I'm very grateful that we're all close still as well, though. We are very close.
Yeah. I've kind of always wondered about the whole family thing, because I've never had a drag family. I mean, I have sisters, you know, but, like, as far as, like, a drag family, I've not been. I've always wondered, like, am I kind of shortchanging myself? Because I know, like you said, I mean, you learn from them, but then you guys kind of stop learning from each other.
Right. So. I think drag family is a great thing. I will never say drag families are bad. Drag families are a great thing. If I find another family that accepts me and that I see that fits my style and our goals align and we have the same values, then I will join another family. Or, you know, down the line, maybe I'll create my own family. But I will never say that drag family is necessarily needed. What is needed, and I think you can, you know, speak to this, is sisterhood. Drag About Me is about expressing my art, but also about the sisterhood. I have had so many great friends come into my life because of drag. I'll say, you know, Vandasia, Nebula, yourself, you know, you, Gianna, the girls at New Beginnings. I'm so grateful to our sisterhood because it's an ever-growing, ever-evolving. We always have something to learn from each other. And to me, even though I don't have a drag family, I've got the sisterhood of all of you all, and that's what is important to me. That's what's truly important.
Right, that's kind of the tool I've used for my personal growth. Or I see something, I'm like, oh, well, that's cool. Like, I can do something like a rendition of it. You know what I mean? So I have mentors, I guess, not mentors really.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Drag is a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful community too, because there's some cattiness and there's some bickering and arguing that happens, but really at the end of the day, it's about coming together and working together and creating a show and a masterpiece. And I think that a lot of building a friendship with Craig has been a lot of not only like our personal struggles and the things that we've been going through, but also the drag stuff, because I'm hugely interested in doing drag and bringing my character to life. And Craig has been really good with giving me pointers and helping me and letting me know that it's okay to do this and that I shouldn't care about what other people are thinking. So that's really good to have somebody that's your cheerleader and kind of cheering you on and being there on your side too.
Oh, definitely. It's definitely needed. It's a beautiful, beautiful community. I'm so thankful that I got into doing drag. I don't know where I would be without it. I have learned so much about myself and so much about others from drag. So I'm definitely grateful.
Speaking Same. About that, what was the thing that made you realize you wanted to do drag?
Okay. So a little quick note about that. When I started becoming friends with Nebula Majors, I had expressed my interest in doing drag. I was like, you know what? I love watching RuPaul's Drag Race. I'm very interested. I think it would be so much fun to perform. And I had not been performing a lot in theater because I had, you know, graduated college. I was working a full-time job. It was just much harder to fit in rehearsals. And one day Nebula gave me a call and was like, hey, we have this show in Sevierville that you know about. We had somebody drop out tomorrow. Would you like to fill in? And literally with a day's notice, I threw together two numbers and came up with a drag persona and performed for the first time. So that's what got me into drag.
That's cool as shit.
Quick drag.
Yeah. You had a background in theater, interest in theater, so it just like slipped right over into drag. It's like a smooth process for you probably.
Exactly.
That's cool.
So you also have a thing for paranormal activity and stuff like that. Are you wanting to bring the love for your paranormal things into your drag somehow?
I have always wanted to either like do a haunted house tour or something in drag. I think that would make for a hilarious vlog because I am very easily scared. I am very easily spooked, jumpy as all get out. So I think that would be super funny in drag. But yes, I do love all things paranormal. I listen to another podcast regularly called Scared to Death. It's Dan Cummins and his wife, Lindsay. I adore it. I think the paranormal is a very interesting topic. And one of these days, maybe I will get to, you know, bring that into my drag style and explore my spooky side in drag. Maybe I'll get to, you know, merge the two loves together sometime. I definitely see that in my future. I just don't know when.
So you should, I think you should pitch it to Michael and Mark. If COVID's still going on during then, we could set up for a walkthrough kind of maze in the bar and then take it down on the week, like have it run on Friday and Saturday.
That would be sick. And I do have, when I worked with Frightmare Manor, I mean, I know how to lay out a haunted house. I know the ins and outs. So that could be really fun.
That's why you should pitch it.
Yeah. You're exactly right. Maybe I'll do that.
Also, like, I think that you should talk to Josh more and kind of brainstorm it first, but come up with a paranormal type Queens of Filth. And, like, talk to him about that, because I think that would be a really good option for an episode. And you would fit right in with that because of your love for it.
You're exactly right. I would love that. I've got a couple ideas that I've bounced around in my head. I need to either, you know, choose one or run with one or start working with somebody to narrow them down. But that is definitely a goal of mine. I would love to be included in that Queens of Soul family at some point.
All right. Well, we would like to allow you the opportunity to join us on our Kind Fam group on Facebook. It is a group that we've started with the guests to kind of help people, for people that are reaching out and need help or have questions or members of the LGBTQ community that are struggling. So if you follow the Facebook page, which is at facebook.com/KOABD pod, almost said podcast, KOABD pod. You can actually follow the group. The host of the shows are on there. We actually have Katrina on there now with us and Shell.
Oh my God, I love them. Yes, Shell and Katrina, two very dear friends. Love them.
So anybody can join if you're an LGBTQ member and you want to join, you're looking for some help or just looking to get to know people that do drag, kind of curious about it. And also, I'm sure that Nova, you will be on there soon. I'll send you an invite.
Yes, I would love that.
And until next time, you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/KOABDpod. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at KOABDpod. So until next time, stay true, hug somebody, and always be a big deal.